This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings.
Abolishing slavery settles the fate for the millions now in bondage, and unborn millions to come.
It's either the amendment or this Confederate peace. You cannot have both.
Slavery, sir, it's done.
That's from Lincoln, featuring Daniel Day-Lewis and directed by Steven Spielberg. Lincoln is the big winner of Oscar nominations. The movie got 12 nods, including ones for Best Movie, Best Director, and Best Leading Actor. Close behind was Ang Lee's Life of Pi with 11 nominations, and Les Miserables and Silver Linings Playbook with 8 nominations each. The Takeaways Movie Date team, Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer, are here with more specifics on the picks and their thoughts on who should have been nominated but was not. Kristen, are these indeed the best movies of the year?
You know, some of them are really fantastic movies. I was thrilled to see that Les Mis got so many nominations. I liked a lot of parts of Life of Pi, even though it's not a perfect movie. But some of the movies that got Best Picture nominations do not belong on there. Most specifically, Django Unchained, which I hated. I just thought it was an overblown blaxploitation film that needed a lot of editing.
Rafer?
I was a little surprised at Django Unchained as well, but that movie actually has a pretty good critical following. But I think this is the reason that the Oscars have decided to widen out the Best Picture field in the last couple of years, anywhere between 5 and 10 movies, to let other movies like that come in.
Some misses in the directing category. Neither Catherine Bigelow, who directed Zero Dark Thirty, nor Ben Affleck, who directed Argo, nor Quentin Tarantino, the director of Django Unchained, got nominations. How come, Rafer?
I'm not sure. You know, Catherine Bigelow, I think we all expected to get a director nod. It's possible that since she just won so recently for The Hurt Locker, which is a very similar film, that maybe they felt that she's already got her laurels. But I do think that her omission from that Best Director category is going to be the domino that makes everything else fall in favor of Lincoln. I predict a clean sweep for Lincoln.
What are you predicting?
I disagree with you, Rafer. I think that it's going to be one of those years where one movie will get 2, 1 will get 3. I think we're going to get some big surprises this year. Already we have big surprises in the nominations, like Beasts of the Southern Wild and Amour. There are a lot of places where I think Oscar's going to spread the love this year.
And why was that surprising for you that Beasts of the Southern Wild and Amour got nominated?
Amour is a foreign language film. Beasts of the Southern Wild is so low budget, and it feels like, you know, it was made on a shoestring. These are not typically movies that Oscar is going to say, let's give the best picture to this.
Seth MacFarlane is going to be the host of this year's Oscar Awards. He's the creator of The Family Guy. Here's his announcement of the Best Lead Actress nominees.
Naomi Watts in The Impossible. Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Riva in Amour. And Kwavenzanay Wallace in The Beasts of the Southern Wild.
What do you think of this field?
Oh, you know, I think it's great. We have 4 or more. We have the oldest nominee ever in the Best Actress category. She's 85 years old, Emmanuel Riva. And then for Beasts of the Southern Wild, we have the youngest nominee ever, who's only 9 years old. I think that the acting categories have a lot of great surprises in the female categories this year. The male categories, not so much. If you look at who's nominated for Best Supporting Actor this year, every single nominee has already won an Oscar.
Let's talk about mood. These films are all really dark. They're about death. They're about torture. They're about civil war. As you think about this as critics reflecting on this as a sign of our times.
I was surprised at the time that The Hurt Locker got as much attention as it did a couple years ago at the Oscars. That was a Middle East war movie. And Middle East war movies had done so poorly and had been so roundly rejected by people at the time. Yet that movie did well. Somehow, I think Zero Dark Thirty hasn't connected with people in the same way. I feel like now there's a feeling that people want to put that behind us, and that if you want to deal with these difficult strains in American culture, you have to do them in an entertaining way, which is one of the reasons that I think Django Unchained has done so well.
I would say that I agree with you, Amy, that a lot of these movies are treading painful ground, but all of them have this nugget of hope in them. Every single one of them end on a happy note in some way, or they have some hope. Yes, and Life of Pi is a story of survival. So is Argo. Argo is a story of escape. Les Mis is a story of redemption. A lot of these movies tread such painful ground, but they say that there's a way out of this, and I think that that is a sign of the times.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Rafer.
Thank you so much for having us.
Kristen Meinzer and Rafer Guzman are hosts of the Takeaways Movie Date podcast. Rafer is a film critic for Newsday. Kristen is culture producer for The Takeaway. You can always subscribe to Movie Date at moviedatepodcast.org. This is WNYC.